Morning, folks. I've got another technology failure. The PowerPoint isn't working the way I had planned it to do, so we're going the way everybody else goes. But we'll start off just with just a couple of words. First of all, I just want to thank everyone in the fellowship here who lent a hand to Scripture Union yesterday, and to God. This morning, I don't know how many folk have said, "Boy, I'm glad we were doing the work yesterday and not the day, because working out in gardens and things in a day like this wouldn't have been very pleasurable. So thanks to everyone who came along. Marek sent us a text last night, and he said they were so encouraged, not just about the work that got done, but just the number of people in the valley who were willing to come and lend a hand in whatever way they could. He says just they were so encouraged at that, and their willingness and their fellowship, just wanting to be part of what they're trying to do up there. So thanks very much for all of that. So today, we'll see if the old stuff does work. Yep, we're fine. We looked at a series about why Jesus did certain things, and that was that last series that we did. Why did Jesus come? Why did he pray? Why did he baptize? And why did he leave? And all that sort of stuff. And to do that, each of the people who were responsible for that series had to look into God's word and try and find the answers to all of these things. And most of them came back with a similar thought, in that he did all of these things because it was in God's word, the Bible, that he said he would do these things, or it would happen to him, that he would be born in this place and he would die here, and what would happen to him before that. And all of that was recorded in God's word. And then when Jesus came as the Messiah, all of that was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they highlighted that to us. It was great just to see how God's plan of the Lord Jesus came out in the Old Testament and into the new, and he was also here to glorify his Father. And so we looked at that, and out of all of that came the fact that God is love, and that because God is love and he loves each one of us and he wants an intimate relationship with you, God in heaven wants an intimate relation with you. That's why he sent Jesus to live that life which was full of grace and truth and love, as he went around and he touched this person and he healed that person and he had compassion upon those who he met. And he wants us to have the same sort of contact that those people that we heard about during the 9 weeks or so that the series went on. But Jesus' life culminated in that life-giving sacrifice at Calvary, his resurrection, and finally his ascension up into heaven again. And it was just a few weeks ago, before we had finished the series, that Sam was speaking to me, and he said, "Why do we not have another one on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and why he's coming back again? Why is that not included in the series?" And I said, "Well, it probably will if you look at the end ones. I mean, I'm sure that'll be mentioned, and certainly Peter spoke about that on his final one. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ leave?" And during that conversation, we started talking about, you know, the old days, when I was young, when Sam was young, and probably I was only a boy, we were talking about, you know, in the old church that we met in Drygate Street, often the preachers would come and they would talk about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back again. They'd talk about something called the rapture, which isn't actually mentioned in the Bible. That word rapture is not mentioned in the Bible, which means the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to take from the world all those who have put their trust in him, all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for their very own, those that have got that special relationship with him. Jesus coming back to take these people back to heaven with him. And they talk about the tribulation and all of the stuff that's really complicated in God's word, and I couldn't explain half of the stuff that these guys could do. And you would go to a conference and that would be the subject. It would be the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would be the second coming. It would be the tribulation and all of these things which are quite complicated, and there was different points of view in all of these things. But I was wondering why was that the case? And maybe it was because, you know, as we came into the 1900s, I wasn't born in the 1900s, obviously. I was born in the 1900s, but not in 1900 or those early years. But the way our world changed as we came into that century, and we went through two world wars, and our culture changed, and technology certainly changed, and we leapt forward. Things that we thought were confined to science fiction became a reality. It was absolutely amazing. And so that maybe spurred these guys on to think we're now just almost waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ returning, because he could come at any moment in time. And so there was a lot of talk in those days. But the why did he services that we looked at, that series, I wasn't asked to actually speak at that group of series for obvious reasons. They kept that for the good speakers, I think. But anyway, when I got this slot, I says, well, maybe I'll just do what Sam told me to do, and just we'll have another series on, another session on why did Jesus not take us with him, or why is he going to come back for us? Something that he will do in the future, not something that he's done, but something he will do, and also that we're told about in God's Word, the Bible. So we're going to have a wee look at that, and Peter certainly gave us that. I'll need to keep going in front of people to read this, I'm afraid. It says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So it says that he is going to come back again, and that is what we're going to have a look at this morning, that Jesus is coming back again. But, you know, I don't only need to do in this place what Sam tells me to do. I've also got to do what Eddie tells me to do. And neither of them are here this morning, so if I'd known that, I maybe would just have dodged it a wee bit. But Eddie says, you're speaking next week. I suppose we'll be seeing your holiday snaps again. Every time you speak, we'll always see your holiday snaps. I says, well, okay, I'll see if I can't disappoint you, Eddie. So we'll maybe have a wee look at that as well as we move through. So this morning, why is Jesus coming back? Why is Jesus coming back? Well, as we've said already, I think the first reason is that he's coming back is because he said he will. All of the other things that we looked at in that series happened because they were recorded in God's Word, that these things were going to happen, and bang, 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 all of these things happened. Now, Jesus said he will. And if Jesus said it, I believe it. Jesus said he will come back again. But he also said when he comes, he's going to bring those who believe. That's the Christians, those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ closely and have accepted his sacrifice for their sins on Calvary's cross. And he is going to come, and he's going to take all those who believe to be with him in heaven forever. And he's also going to come to reign and to judge the world. We're going to do a lot of reading this morning, so if you can just keep with it, and we'll look at some verses that actually tell us that. First of all, the one that Peter gave us, it says, and if I go, this is Jesus speaking, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me. Matthew chapter 25, which we're going to look at this morning. Then the king will say to those in his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So he is coming, and he's going to take us to our inheritance in heaven. The last book in the Bible, Revelation, he says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. And then, as Peter was telling us last week, Jesus was standing with his disciples, and he was saying goodbye to them, and he was going to go to heaven, and they're all gathered round about him, and they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And back to Matthew 25, at the end of the chapter, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will put the sheep on his right side and the goats on the left. And that's at the final time when God, when the Lord Jesus Christ judges everyone, and he separates those who have believed in him. That's the sheep who have been following him from the goats on his left. So why did Jesus not take his followers with him immediately? There's the disciples standing with him, and he's going to leave, and he goes up into the clouds, and they're watching that. Why didn't Jesus just take them if he loved them so much and he had died for them? He'd given his life as a sacrifice for them. Why didn't he just take them? Let's go, guys. Let's go to heaven. Well, the answer to that for me is grace. Grace to allow me, 2,000 years later, to still have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. God said that he wants every man, every woman, everywhere to be in heaven. But it won't happen. But he's still gracious enough to give us the opportunity today to accept Jesus as our Savior. And so the reason he didn't take his disciples with him there and then was so that we would have the opportunity to live in this day of grace where we can have the opportunity to take Jesus for our very own. So when is he going to return? Jesus, Chris already spoke about this morning, wee synopsis of what we're talking about just now. When will Jesus return? If anybody knows the answer, I don't think they're telling the truth. Anyway, it says, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, there he is with his disciples again. And they say, tell us, they say, when is this going to happen? And what will be the sign when that time comes? When is it going to be, and what's the signs going to be? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So here's a wee sign, he says. The gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. I think we're getting there. With the internet, with dab radio, TV, we're reaching the ends of the earth with the good news. I don't know whether all nations now have heard the good news. But that's a sign. Once all of the nations have heard, God can call it a day. But about that day or hour, no one knows, and that's what Chris was telling us earlier. Not even the angels in heaven, not even Jesus himself, but only the Father. He is the only one who knows when he's going to decide to say, enough is enough, and call the believers home. So what's going to be the signs of Jesus' return? Still in Matthew 25, later Jesus is standing with the disciples, and then what sign will signal your return and the end of the world? Down in verse 6, and it says you'll hear of wars and rumours of wars. What is our world like at the moment? Wars and rumours of wars. But to see it, you have not to be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, there'll be earthquakes, another one in Mexico. And all these things are the beginning. That's the beginning of the end. The beginning of the end. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. This is Christians. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, it's getting worse and worse and worse to live in the world. The love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The holiday snaps. Oh, everybody says, oh, good. You're going on a train on Tuesday. Oh, well, I'll be. Is it a steam train or is it a virgin? It's a diesel train. Never mind diesel trains. Ask Arlo about this. This is the KWVR line. And we went down to Yorkshire on holiday, and we were staying just outside that place called Keighley. Oakworth was the name of the place. And they've got this, it's only about 5 miles. It's a reservation, a preservation railway line. And they've got all these old steam trains and railway carriages. And it is amazing when you see the condition of some of these things. And they just run up and down the line. And you can get one, a ticket, and you can jump on and jump off and have a look at the wee villages. And well, we had a great day. It was the best weather-wise day that we actually had when we were on holiday. But we went to have a wee look at this railway line, and it was great. There's some of the people there. Does anybody recognise what that is? Oh, man, so it is. I took her on holiday with me, Maureen. But what about the other bits? It's the Railway Children, that's right. Anybody seen that film, The Railway Children? Well, you're seeing it in live now. Well, on the railway carriages, as you went through the museum, you would, because they obviously use this for shows and for films and all that sort of stuff, going up and down the track, and there's Sherlock Holmes and all the other films that were done there. So you can sit in the railway carriage where Sherlock sat and all this sort of stuff. And it's quite interesting, and there's some first-class carriages as well, which, when you see the difference in those days between first-class and third-class, it was quite striking, the difference. But anyway, there's me packing the cases to get Isabel and Kelly Ann off. That's me, that's right. They know the work while they're sitting in the train. But they pack quite lightly. They just have a wee hold all now and again, and off we go. So that was me. That's them sitting at the railway station. I got a shot in the engine, the big red levers there. That allows the amount of steam to go into the engine to make it go faster or slower. So that's how you control it. And it was a good day. A couple of old Duchesses sitting in the platform waiting to go. This one's not very clear, I'm sorry about that. But that's the back of the train. And that guy is the guard that's sitting in. Well, you walked in. There was a wee story in each of the carriages, but when you walked into this one, you didn't see the guard. He was behind us. Is there a thing on this? There is, actually. Oh, that's not so good. I'll no bother with that. You can't see the guard sitting there. And you walk in, and this thing just plays, and it's the guard. He just shouts at you, "What are you doing in here? This is only for the guard. You're not allowed in here." And that's for the kids when they're walking around and seeing this, and they get a wee bit of fright with this wee guard in there. But he goes through the story of what the guard is and what his important duty is, and he shows the red flag, and he shows his whistle, and he's the most important guy in the whole railway by the time you get to the end of this. But I just didn't want to show you the holiday snaps. There is a wee story behind it. I thought about when I came to New Mills and we used to sing a song called The Gospel Express. And some of the lyrics in some of these old songs weren't too clever, I don't think, and where they actually came from. But they do give a wee theme. And today I was quite encouraged by the fact that even the modern ones do have some lyrics in it as well. You can't stop a train by standing on the track. So yes, I says, that's right for the Gospel Express this morning. But I don't know whether you've read or heard about the lyrics before. It says, "Join the Gospel Express, come along and say yes. We're leaving for glory soon, and the guard is so glad." That's the wee guy in the back. He's waving his flag. "Hallelujah, it won't be very long. Peep, peep, peep goes his whistle. Toot, 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 that's the engine driver. Goes the train, chug, 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 goes the engine, and we're off on the glory train. And when I was on, just standing on the platform at Oakworth, that's what came into my mind. I was thinking about this message, and I was thinking, you know, about the train just pulling out. Everybody that was standing on the platform that day, just watching it all happening and the people getting on and off. Once the guard was ready, he did, he had his wee flag at the back to signal up to the driver. And then he blows the whistle. He makes sure all the doors are shut and everybody's on the train. And he just peeps his whistle. And then the driver, he gives the toot, toot, toot to say, we're going to be moving now. The train's going to start to move. And then you hear the big engine going and the smoke coming out of the funnel. And it's off. I don't think there's actually a gospel express that you need to get onto, but the theme is, you've got to be ready. That train, when it leaves, it's leaving for glory. And it's the same for us today. You know, that is the theme of the message today. You've got to be ready to go to heaven. Because if you don't, you'll be like me, you'll be standing in the platform and you'll watch the train chugging onto the next station. The doors are shut and the chance and the opportunity has gone. So today I just want to look at a wee bit in Matthew 25. And it's a story that the Lord Jesus, Jesus is speaking throughout both of these chapters, 24, 25. And 25 is the whole picture, if you like, but we don't have time to look at that. It starts off with, the Lord will come back. The Lord will come back, and he tells the story about the bridesmaids going to a wedding feast, and that's what we're going to look at just for a couple of minutes this morning, the wise and the foolish. And then the Lord goes on to say that he's going to judge people. You know, it's a story about the talents. He gives so many talents to one person, so many talents to the next, and so many talents to the next one. And then he goes on finally to say that the sheep and the goats will be separated. Those who have followed him and those who have not followed him, they'll be separated forever and forever. So our message, our warning is this morning to be alert and to be ready for Jesus coming. All of us are the same this morning. We're all in church and we're all hearing the same message. And what we want to make sure is that we are all of a particular group. So can I just read you the story? This is Jesus speaking and he's telling them to be ready and to be alert for his coming back again. He says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough oil in their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. And all the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. But the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves. But while they were going to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Later, when the other 5 bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you two must keep watch, for you don't know the day or hour of my return. The story about the bridesmaids and their lamps. Going to a wedding was different in those days. It wasn't the mum and dad of the bride who are supposed to pay most of the bill. In those days, it was a bridegroom, and he would get the guests, and he would take them to his house for the wedding feast. So it's a wedding feast that we're thinking about this morning, and these bridesmaids who are going, fortunately enough, to the wedding. And it's to represent the kingdom of heaven, where God will have that feast when he invites all of those who have believed in his son to be there. So it's split up into two groups. There's us. The 5 bridesmaids who are not prudent and don't prepare for the future. And it's us, the 5 bridesmaids who are wise and have their lamps filled and carry that reserve cruise. So here we are in church today. I'm not saying what the numbers are, but we're in either one group or the other. We're either the bridesmaids who are not prudent and we're not prepared for the future, or we are the wise who have our lamps filled and the oil in our reserve cruise. The bridegroom in the story represents Jesus himself when he's coming back for his people. And so he's telling his disciples, this is the story. The bridesmaids are there, they're out in the street, and they're waiting on the bridegroom coming to take them along and take them into his home for that marriage or wedding feast. But what happens? They all fall asleep. The bridegroom's delayed. Bridegroom has waited 2,000 years for us. He's been delayed. It's the same here. And all of the bridesmaids fall asleep. So it's everybody in this church falls asleep. Doesn't matter what group you're in, whether you're the prudent or whether you're the wise. It's a long time and they get tired. And we all get tired. And they all fall asleep. But when the midnight cry comes, that's where the difference comes. That midnight cry goes out. The bridegroom's coming, the bridegroom's coming. And they all wake up. And the wise, their lamps are getting dim, but they've got their oil and they fill up their lamps and they trim the wick. And the other girls are asking, can you give us some of your oil? Give us some of your oil. But they can't. They can't give others the oil. The oil they have is only for themselves. They can't share that with anyone else. They can't provide for the others. And so the heartache of the story is that the wise are invited in. They follow the bridegroom and they go in to the marriage feast. When they're in, the door is shut, the door is locked, and the unprepared then come when they've got the oil. But the door's locked. The train is gone. It's left the station. They've missed the opportunity. It's too late. It's too late. Our warning, our challenge this morning is, have we made sure we're in the right group of the bridesmaids? Are we wise? Are we ready? And the only way we can ready is get ready is to have our oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to ask him to change our lives, to forgive us for the wrong things that we've done, and we pray that Jesus will take control of our lives. So what will happen when Jesus comes back? It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so that you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. So all of the believers in the last 2,000 years are going to be raised, they're going to come out the graves, and they're going to go to meet our Lord Jesus. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. So the graves will start to open in Yumils and Darvel, and the saints will start to rise, and then we too will go to meet them in the air with the Lord. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Forever. In a flash, it will happen. In a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. We're no longer going to have these aches and pains. We will have immortality. We will live forever with the Lord. What should we do? What should we do while we wait? Therefore, you who follow me must be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. So be filled and keep on being filled with the Spirit. It's only through our Lord Jesus Christ that we can be a true follower of the Lord Jesus. I don't know what your position is this morning in church. Have you committed your life to Jesus? Have you asked him to change your life? Have you asked him, can I be one of your followers? I believe in what you've done for me. And I believe that you're coming back again. And I believe that you'll take me to heaven. And if that's the case, he's saying, you must be ready. Is your life ready? Are you continuing to be alert? Are you looking for that day? Are you looking for him today? We don't know when the bridegroom is going to call, when that trumpet call comes. It might happen before we get out these doors. But he's saying, be ready. Be alert. Don't let your life get into a mess and forget about me. Keep following on and keep looking forward to that day when I'll return and take you home. But if you've never done that, can I encourage you today? Take the opportunity. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen when you go out the doors. Don't miss the train. Don't leave it to others. All of the Christians in here, they can't give you anything that they've got. It's only Jesus that can give you the oil for your life. Take it while there is still the opportunity. Take it today and be assured of that glorious hope of being in heaven with him forever. Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus. We thank you that he is the one that you sent to be the Saviour of all the world. And we thank you that Jesus' death was for us. But we pray that your Holy Spirit will do his work today in the lives of each of us, wherever we are in our relationship with you. We ask that you will change us. And you will make us new, and you'll spur us on to look forward to that day when you're coming back. Our Father, it's such a glorious hope, such a glorious message. And our prayer is that you'll save everyone in this congregation today. Help them to take the time, even just not to leave here, but hold them here until they're right with you. Our Father, just want to pray too for Claire again, and for her sister, and for Jocelyn. We just ask that that family will know your nearness in their time of grief and sorrow. Be with the kids, Father, that you'll speak to them in a way that we can't even speak to them, and that you'll give them that peace in their life. So, Father, we ask that you'll just look after us now as we go, and bless everyone and every family represented in this church this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much.